Right now, we're joined in the studio by Anna Richards, who heads up the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. Chapel Hill Carrboro, NAACP.com is their website for more information. A couple of key things that we're following, of course, I mentioned a few minutes ago, State Senate overriding the governor's veto on that voter ID bill. That goes to the State House for their vote probably tomorrow. And of course, we're continuing to follow the ongoing fight over Silent Sam and its future on or off campus. New deadline of March 15th for UNC Chapel Hill and UNC system officials now to come up with a new plan. Carol Folt, the chancellor, issuing a statement earlier this week saying she's looking forward to speaking with a lot more people about that. Anna, thanks for being with us here in the studio today. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So let's start by talking about the voter ID bill, which again, State Senate voted today to override the veto. And as we were talking during the break, State House is almost certainly going to do the same thing tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So what then? 24 hours from now, as this bill almost certainly officially becomes a law, what's the next step?
Right. So I would imagine that it'll be challenged in the courts, and we'll be back to where we were before they decided they needed to put it on the ballot. What's so ironic about this is, you know, they claim that they need to do this to protect the integrity of the North Carolina system. Where was the integrity in gerrymandered districts? Where was the integrity in Bladen County? Where's the integrity in trying to change the balance of power with the Democratic governor? And there's only been one goal, and it's so blatant, and that is what can we do above board, under the table, any kind of way we can do it to elect Republicans. That's been the goal. And so it just, you know, reeks of hypocrisy to hear them talk about the integrity of the system, which is the word that they've been floating around. So I'm sure it will end up in court once again. And we continue this battle to fair and open elections, which is really the bedrock of democracy, and we'll get there.
One way or the other.
One way or the other.
And the really fascinating thing, just watching everything that's gone on in Bladen County in the 9th District, is that clearly integrity is an issue that needs to be protected from people who, unscrupulous people who try to game the system and break the law. This particular bill that moved through the General Assembly, or this particular issue in general, like showing your ID when you go to the polls,
right,
can make an argument one way or the other on whether that's something that we should have to do, but it's not the primary issue when it comes to protecting electoral integrity, given where the actual fraud is taking place when
exactly.
it comes to elections and
exactly.
how it's taking place.
And if you know, if you step back and look at the districts, one could argue that anything that this legislature has done is really illegal because the districts from which they were elected have deemed to be illegal. So is anything they've done really a legal act? So I, you know, it's just ironic to me that when you have these huge issues in terms of who votes, whether the legislature picks the voters that they want to vote for them, so they self-select, or if you break the law, which, you know, this whole thing in Bladen County is remarkable because it's one person gets one absentee ballot, and that person alone is supposed to mail it in or take it in, period. So to have a known criminal, because this was a known fact that, that he was collecting these out, that right there, even if the ballots were marked per the will of the person, the fact that someone other than that person is turning that ballot in is against
is
North
already
Carolina
illegal, yeah.
election law.
Yeah. And the staggering thing to me, and this is something that I learned just following this issue that I didn't know before, is that's the law in North Carolina. There are other states where, obviously, if you're going around and collecting absentee ballots, you're not allowed to tamper with them or just decide not to submit them. That's illegal everywhere. But the collecting of ballots is legal in a lot of states, which surprises me.
But it's not in North Carolina.
But it's not in North Carolina, right? Yeah.
Right.
Speaking with Anna Richards, Chapel Hill Carpenter, NAACP. So let's bring the discussion more locally and talk about the latest developments, and all of this has still gone down just in the last few days on Silent Sam and the Board of Governors' decision to reject the UNC Chapel Hill proposal to put it back up at that new building. Thoughts on that?
Well, let's see. Not approving it is a good thing,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think there was one thing in addition to defeating that plan that happened at the Board of Governors meeting, and it's this panel to come up with, punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Against student protesters.
Right.
And I think that that's been ignored largely in the news, but it's chilling.
It's our top story today.
Oh, is it?
It is, but it's Tuesday, right?
The
meeting was Friday, and all of the talk on Friday was about Silent Sam, Silent Sam.
Yes,
so, yeah.
Yes. And so to anything that says we are going to limit free speech mm-hmm. and free expression on a university campus where the exchange of ideas is supposed to be welcome, right? I think that that's alarming. And when I was there Friday, there were over 50 police there. Why were they there?
Mm-hmm.
There were state police there. There were, of course, the UNC police, and they had police from other jurisdictions within the UNC system. So I saw UNC Greensboro police there. I kind of went, now these were the ones I could see
mm-hmm.
that were outside. Who knows how many were behind the building, in the building? We don't know. But the idea that you know, where was the fight? The students were there to express their opposition to a Confederate monument on their campus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clear that the position of UNC was, we're going to come here and restrict you before there was any need to restrict. So I am very concerned about the attitude that we are, you know, prepared to spend $5 million to build a shrine to a Confederate monument at the same time we can't figure out a way to interact and have conversation and discussion with our students.
Mm-hmm.
It's alarming.
And this is going to be a continued concern as we get into January, February, March, because that's the next step, right?
It is.
We're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to start having more conversations.
Yep.
And
yep.
Carol Folt
yep.
issued the statement, I think today, if not yesterday, to the campus community saying, I'm eager to have more conversations.
Right.
And that's great. But the tenor of the interaction
yep.
for the last year
yes.
as this debate has gone on has been for university officials to act in a way that suggests at least that they see the student activists as a threat, and
yes.
that puts the kibosh on conversation right from the get-go.
It does. And you talk about, you know, the staff conduct, faculty and staff conduct, and you know, the exact wording was to set clear expectations and provide for sanctions, including suspension, termination, and expulsion
mm-hmm.
for those who engage in conduct that impacts safety. And we'll see what comes out. But I think all of us need to be really concerned about this clampdown
mm-hmm.
on students and faculty in our university system.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: the specific they didn't want it called a strike, but everyone's calling it a strike, so we'll call it a strike. The specific action of the what was it, 80 TAs and instructors,
yeah.
I think it ended up being about 80,
right.
Who refused to submit grades until the silent SAM proposal was restricted. Support or oppose the action, what do you think the university should do in response?
Well, so technically, they did the work.
Right.
Because they didn't refuse to grade to...
Yeah, they did the grading.
They did the
right.
grading, right? And so they took a position that said, this is how strongly we feel about this. And, you know, the other side of it that I haven't heard discussed either is that what they actually said was, we're willing to put our future, our life, right? Because their education, many of the TAs, that's their financial commitment,
and if they're grad students, like they've committed X
right.
number of years
that's
to a PhD program
right.
or whatever. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So to me, the fact that people were willing to do that should be met with how can we work our way through this?
Mm-hmm.
But that attitude of how can we work our way through this if there is not a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, true, the university has a right to take whatever action they choose. It's significant to me that's how strongly and how committed folks are to this. And so I would have hoped that there could have been more dialogue again around what can we do to work together toward a solution.
Yeah. Speaking with Anna Richards again, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.com, the website for more info. Other things on your mind, upcoming events?
Well, it's we're approaching January. We have a great day planned for MLK Day, which is January 21st. We are looking forward. We have Reverend Sadler, who is a pretty well-known theologian here in North Carolina, is going to be our main speaker. And then we have a rally and a march. And we actually have the chair of the Black Student Congress is going to be our speaker at that. So we'll have more information. But that starts at 9 o'clock on the 21st at Peace and Justice Plaza. Also, you know, the town of Chapel Hill is dedicating MLK Park on the 19th of January, and our youth council is involved with the Youth Advisory Board of Carborough in a youth program on Saturday. The dedication is at 11 o'clock, and the youth program is at 1 o'clock at Century Center. So hopefully folks will put those dates down, and that's a great opportunity for us to come together as a community and be able to talk about some of these issues. After the rally, we're going to be marching up to First Baptist, and then we have about an hour of conversation about some of these relevant issues at First Baptist before our service starts there at 11 o'clock. So that's on January 21st.
All of that coming up next month. Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.com for more information. Anna Richards, thank you so much.
Thank you.